This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. You know what? For the first time, I got a text from somebody after I say that daily. He said, I know you're being nice, but I just want to let you know I'm actually just going into work. Well, shout out to you, too, if you're just going into work as well. Those of you getting off and just going into work, shout out to you. Didn't mean to leave you out. If you, I just know at this time, I'm hoping most people are probably hoping they're getting off work and finishing up the rest of their evening. But don't worry, old dirty show T Mill, aka Psycho T, have the latest for you. And the latest is we do want you to remember, as Clint said earlier, tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow is Thirsty Thursday. We'll be out at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be in Cypress this time, right off US 290. US 290, full address 25704 US 90. 20. Keeps moving this daggum thing, and I'm about to read it. Every time I'm about to read it, 25704 US 90 in Cypress. So come on and hang out with us tomorrow as we always have a good time. Thirsty Thursday, never empty handed, always.
It's 290, isn't it?
What'd I say?
You said US 90. It's 290.
I thought I said 290.
Just making sure. I didn't make sure
US
I wasn't
290.
Wrong.
Yeah, I thought I was saying US 290. So come out and hang out with us. The Rockets, they are back in action after getting their first win. They're playing another struggling Eastern Conference team. They're in Toronto tonight. And listen, it's been a small sample size, and there's a lot of things to watch for. I think we're watching for KD and how this team kind of joins together and maybe the next step for some of these guys. But one thing I would love to see them get back to, and I know it will change a bit, Clint, because of some of the moves they've made, but to build this thing under Udoka, the hallmark of this team has been defense. And Dylan Brooks is gone, and you replace him with KD, so there's going to be some different things there. But they still should be one of the best defensive teams in the league, and right now through the first couple weeks they're in the middle of the pack when it comes to defensive rating. They still should be a top 10 team defensively, and they've given up over 109 each game. Now I know the first game they went double OT to give up 125 to the Thunder, but they're maybe not going to be as good as they were last year with some of the guys they have in, but you still want to see that be in the calling card for the Rockets. And I think that's probably the one thing that I would assume that Udoka's looking at saying, all right, that's the one thing we could really improve.
Well, look, you obviously trade a little bit of that identity, that physicality and that defense for offense when you decide you're going to go the KD route. And I think that's probably going to show up statistically. But I don't in any way, shape, or form believe in any way that Ime Udoka's team is not going to be one of the more physical, in-your-face basketball teams. A team that plays with a chip on their shoulder. I just don't believe that the way that they play ball, which really shows on the defensive end of the floor more so than on the offensive end because of them getting after folks. Like, I just don't believe that identity is going to change. I know it's going to statistically take a little bit of a hit because you just, I mean, you had to go get offense somewhere.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks
in out of the game as opposed to KD.
Yeah,
Dylan Brooks is going to be somebody who the reason why he got the money he got and how he has been able to survive in the league is defense.
Yep.
And KD is more, all right, strap it up really big when I got to.
Yeah, yeah, and then you got the whole Reed Shepherd thing going on right now.
Where you take a seat back there.
How many minutes does he get every night kind of deal where he struggles defensively, not anywhere near the caliber defender that the others are, however you choose to play? So it's going to change. You're going to give up a little bit there, no doubt about it. And we've seen that. I think that's probably going to trend. That's a trend that's going to last statistically. But I would be shocked if which we've seen, by the way. We've already seen Amen Thompson, and I mean we've already seen a couple of in three games. What is it? Three games. I mean we've already seen two or three dust ups where that very easily could have become bigger issues. So they're going to be physical. There's no doubt about it.
All right.
They're going to play with an edge. No doubt about it.
They still have Eason, who is a really good defender. Thompson's a really good defender. Jabari Smith is still a really good defender. So they'll take a little hit, but I do want to make sure you see that doesn't. They feel better. They should be better than middle of the pack, 16th or whatever in defensive rating. But a big one tonight. See if they can even up this record against a struggling Grady Dick and the Toronto Raptors.
5 o'clock fire.
Sorry, Grady. All right, the injury report is officially out. We told you a little bit about and heard from CJ in regards to two of his top receivers there, Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. They were limited participants along with Braxton Berrios, who had a chest thing, and Jakob Johnson back from IR. He is now in that window. He was a limited participant, as well as Jalen Petrie with the foot. Now, there were several who did not practice, Clint. Danico Autry with the knee did not practice. Dylan Horton across that defensive line did not practice. And Lakin Tomlinson, more rest. He didn't practice today. But the one that really jumps there is tight end Dalton Schultz, especially when you look for the fact that they made a move on the practice squad by bringing in Dalton Keene, a tight end fullback type. To be a part of the practice squad earlier today after we saw that there was no Dalton Schultz at practice. Here was D'Amico giving an update on his tight end, Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, Dalton didn't go today, but we're expecting to get him back as the week goes on. He's doing well, progressing just fine.
All right, there it is. So he made it seem like this was just precaution for the day. I think you spoke about that earlier. Listening to him on that makes me feel, a lot better about, this injury thing not being something that potentially keeps him out of the game.
Yeah, look, with Dalton Schultz, last year I had a problem with days off. This year you've earned every bit of it. Take your day off, take your vet day, take your rest day, take your little whatever kind of knickknacks you got going on. He is playing a physical brand of tight end. And if you take into account that he is known as stylistically, he is a receiving tight end. He wasn't brought in here to be a physical run blocker. He has turned the corner and is doing things in a very physical manner. And we've seen it enough. We've seen it. The sample size is multiple weeks now. And if Dalton Schultz needs a day off, if Dalton Schultz needs to recover, if he's been banged up a little bit because of how physical he's been and because how many balls he's catching and all that, hey, so be it, man. Hey, let 86 get his time. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, and obviously I think in this game, Clint, he is an important piece to this game to me. Obviously, like last week, he only had two catches in that game, but still is important. This game, them trying to maybe get the ball out quick and them trying to kind of deal with the pressure and get the ball out to him, I think he is going to be a significant part of this game, especially, Clint, when you factor in what's behind him. Right? There is – they already lost. So did they lose Harrison Bryant? I think he got picked up by somebody else. So or not Harrison
no, not
Bryant.
Harrison Bryant.
No,
Brendan Bates
Brendan
kid.
Bates kid. Yeah. But outside of Dalton Schultz, it's Harrison Bryant, and that's it. And even with him being a little having a little injury issue, when they play, they need him in this game because he is going to be a big part of this offense, especially when you look. That tight end position is very, very thin, especially with pass catchers behind him. So Dalton Schultz will be big. We'll see tomorrow. Tomorrow will tell a bigger story. If he's not on the practice field tomorrow, then I think there's a much bigger concern.
Dude.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, World Series even. After last night's victory from the Blue Jays, it looked like several people were dead tired out there. Vladimir is limping around there. You know it's bad when you're limping on the home run trot, and you can tell it's being felt there. But they win 6-2 over Ohtani, who went six innings, and he ended up giving up four runs. When he left, there were two there, but he gave up four runs on six strikeouts in those six innings. And they got to go back at it again tonight, Clint. They're going to play three in a row now. After coming off those 18 innings in, we'll see how much they're affected tonight. But Blue Jays, baby, we may also see George Springer tonight. He may get back in it. His manager in game yesterday was what did he say, Tyler? He was hour to hour. Is that what he said?
Yeah, I never heard that. They said old George was hour to hour.
Heard day to day, heard week to week, but hour to hour. And yesterday he said he swung the bat, felt all right, and may be able to play tonight. This thing we know will go back to Toronto for at least a game six, but a big one tonight here. Usually, whoever wins game five, they generally have an advantage there moving forward to win the rest of the series. But a big one tonight here, game five tonight, Dodgers and Blue Jays. I know you. I know you're pulling for the Blue Jays.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this is so weird to me when you said you're pulling. Well, no, I mean, I want a team that's in the United States of America to win that thing.
Oh, yeah, that part.
I mean, I'm not a big Dodger fan, but I'd rather somebody right here in the United States win that thing. I ain't got no dog in the fight. I don't care one way or another, to be honest with you. So I'm gonna pull for the old U.S. of A, baby.
Yeah, probably most of either one of the teams doesn't have.
The players are
a lot
American.
Of members from the United States.
Yeah.
I'm clearly talking about location.
I know.
I mean, the players from the United States, most of them peter out in college.
And they're deep. They're in that bullpen, where they are, baby. That bullpen. Yeah. Team in the U.S. Shohei. There we go, baby. Team in the U.S.
And got it. I mean, there's 10 plus million folks over in. Japan watching, baby.
Hey, my man John Smoltz last night kept saying, I don't want to make an excuse, but his legs have to be tired. My man John said, you know, pitching 18 innings, those first three innings will be all right when you're running on adrenaline. But after that, that's where you really get concerned about his legs. He said, I used to sleep 12 hours the day before I pitched. Every time, that was how I was taught. Yeah. We would 12 hours. Mm. He said, there is no way. He said, I would 12 hours and I would study the opponent right there the day before. Hell, sometimes I go before the game ended. He said, there is no way he got to do any of that.
Yeah, you got to think that. Innings. You got to think, what was that, 7-plus hours of baseball? You got to think that
almost,
was,
yep.
That probably took some toll on them legs.
Yeah, I would say so. Game five tonight, as we'll see if the Dodgers or the Blue Jays can take the lead going back to Toronto.
Tall Asian guy.
5 o'clock fire.
Thanks, CJ. All right, this is an interesting story because Clint came through the break and was telling me, and I just thought this was fake. I thought it sounded fake. Governor Jeff Landry of the great state of Louisiana was critical of the athletic director, Scott Woodward. We talked about it the other day. He is now, he is the one who hired Jimbo Fisher. and had to make a $76 million payout. You think Jimbo's just refused to get another job so he can get all of that payout? Is that?
I don't know. Is there an offset there?
Oh yeah. If there's a difference here. Like if Brian Kelly gets another job and he's making whatever.
I'm assuming he could go take a job and for a dollar a year and really stick it.
Really stick it to him, or just do TV for a couple of years and let's just have a blast. Yeah. But he also obviously, as we said, firing Brian Kelly and he's got a $54 million buyout. And I mean, old Jeff Landry, he was serious. We don't have audio of this, do we, Tyler? Yeah. Jeff Landry was serious. I thought this was fake when I heard it, but he told reporters Wednesday that the LSU athletic director, Scott Woodward, won't be involved in selecting the Tigers' new football coach, saying he'd let President Donald Trump do it before Woodward would. He said, I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting our next coach. Landry told reporters during the news conference at the state capitol in Baton Rouge.
What was that yesterday? Woodward came out and said that Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen was the
reports that's who he was focused on. He was leading.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me one bit right here, man. They said, no, you ain't. I mean, you done cost two schools a combined $130 million in buyouts making mistakes. You ain't doing it again.
That's a bit strong. I don't know that I've heard the governor.
It is a solid.
I've heard the governor come on out and just say, "Nah, man, it's over."
It is a solid watch if you can find it on social media.
It does not sound real.
It sounds like he is from south of Baton Rouge, and he is dead ass serious. And apparently, he's got a big booster, big donor, big money guy standing to his right. And he said, "Yeah, I don't have to go back and ask this guy for $50 million again. Wouldn't be a good day." Yeah, I mean, there's a real politician twist on this thing with him. And that accent makes it great, and then you throw in the football and the buyout, the situation. Hell, this is exactly what should happen. Somebody ought to step their ass in and go, nah, hell no, that guy ain't hiring another coach. Yeah,
might as well let Scott go now.
Hell yeah, we're doing you a favor, keeping you around and paying you millions to be the AD. He ain't hiring nobody else. Hell, that's what ought to happen. When you cost a school two schools combined $130 million because you hire so poorly, I mean, hell, you ought not get to make a third hire.
By the way, Ed Orgeron has thrown his name into the ring.
Yeah, I can be there. I can be there this afternoon.
Where the hell is Ed doing? Hold that tiger. I didn't know. What is Ed doing?
I think his boys are coaching, so he's traveling around and watching his boys. And I think he lives in Florida with some young tender.
How many years did that national championship buy him? What, one?
How many after that?
Yeah, next year. That is insane. I don't know.
Well, the wheels come off. Remember, he was caught in the damn parking lot with one of the board members' wives or something?
I thought it was for performance. There's other performance.
Well, now, I'm sure. I mean, my understanding is the program just went to absolute.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they took that championship party throughout the next season.
And just ran and just let it cut loose. No.
And then I think that the straw that broke the camel, if I remember correctly, I think it was some big donor or some Board of Regents member or somebody he got caught with her or tried to hit on her, tried to get in the sack with her or something, and she ratted on him. Can't remember what the story was. There's a woman involved.
I did not know that.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that. No, I do not.
I can't remember if it was them together or if he just tried desperately to get her. And it eventually came to light. I can't remember. I have to look it up. I can't remember all. Ed, I'm telling you, untied, undefeated. Ed fell for it, man.
Tyler, I listened to that Jeff Landry deal. I honestly got, it sounds like one of those like AIs where people are just jumping it. I could not believe he was actually saying that.
Got to watch out for the old AI these days.
But then Clint's dead serious. And then I look, it's the top story on ESPN. Okay. I mean, what are you doing today, Scott? Damn. I feel bad. Stephen A. put his picture up on the screen the other day saying, no, we got to see who this is and his name. I want it right now. This guy is cost all these schools money. Interesting. All right, coming up, as we dive in and look at this big matchup on Sunday between the Texans and the Broncos, you think this is the best team the Texans have played thus far this year? Do you think the Denver Broncos is the toughest test for the Texans? We'll discuss that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Apparently we must be having a volume issue or something. The way people are texting in on this.
Yeah, guessing right, the wind stuff from last night's got our signal a bit weak.
Yeah, that bad boy was whistling last night, man.
My truck was getting blown all over the damn road driving home.
Shoot, man, I woke up with kids in the bed. I woke up, and I'm telling you, man, I'm about to elbow somebody. I'm like, yo, when did you get here? I mean, I got, yeah, I don't know, you, Clint, you've probably been here, been boxed out. You've been here with your dogs. Had kids box you out in your sleep. You didn't know you was getting boxed out. Then next thing you know, like, they clearly got inside position on you, and you're damn near out of the bed. When them kids just run up in that bed, I don't know. I mean, I'm just dog. Oh,
mine's God. Like clockwork. It don't matter what the weather's doing. She comes in the same time every night, and commences kicking the hell out of me.
Are you asleep by the? Or do you catch her when she comes?
No,
in?
No, I'm not asleep by the time she gets here. I mean, I'm still. If I am asleep, it's a light sleep, so I hear her crying before she gets to the door. So I hear
had
her coming.
No clue that there were children in the bed till I woke up.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my God, where did you even come from?
Well, no, this one's coming in there. She's squealing before she gets to the door. And I feel sorry for her because she's scared and she's half asleep. She's not even really awake. And we're still in that phase. We're not in the, I'm going to get up and go in there and just hop in the biscuit with mom and dad. We're scared getting there and we're crying and then we get into bed and mama's not very nice when she's Liv is getting the wrath that I had to deal with. She is one thing. My wife is a lovely
when she
lady.
Sleep, when she's sleeping,
you try to mess with her. Hey, honey,
what?
God dang, man! I just need. I'm leaving. I want to tell you goodbye. I'm leaving for the day. Damn, boy, Liv gets it now, man. That is that's pretty brutal.
And then and be hot if you ain't say nothing with her, and you just. She just get up.
Well, babe, have you already left? Well, yeah, I left an hour ago. Well, why didn't you say bye? Well, hell, I mean, because you bite my head off when I do.
Yeah, man, I thought I'd send you a little text for you to wake up.
Yeah, I knew your ringer wasn't on. I thought I'd send you a little text, baby. All right. That old sleep, she takes that serious now. And that baby wakes, I know she takes it serious because she is not mean at all to them kids.
Until
they jack with her sleep. And it's look out now.
All right, the Texans have played some pretty good teams, especially when you look at some of the records. The Rams and the Seahawks, both of them are 5-2, tied atop the NFC West. And those are two teams that the Texans lost to, both of them road games. And then the Bucks. The Bucks are 6-2, and they lost at home to Tampa and the Bucks. And I would say those are the three best teams they've played. And then comes in Denver, Clint. They are 6-2. And they've got a top 10 offense, top 10 defense. But if you look at those other teams, Baker is an MVP candidate. Stafford is a Hall of Famer. And Sam Darnold has been playing really, really good ball the last 2 years. I would say Bo Nix, I'd say, is probably the worst of those four quarterbacks with those four teams. But even within that, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this too. Is this the best team you think the Texans have played?
I think it's the best team the Texans have played, yeah. And I think, again, like you said, we got to take things into consideration here. I don't think the Rams' first game of the season is comparable to who they are today, right? Catching a 6-2 football team week 8 is different than catching a good football team when nobody's played in the preseason. They're one of their top two receivers has never played with this quarterback. And so I think the Rams are probably a tougher beat right now than they were week 1. And so I'm taking into consideration when you play certain teams. And so I think that excludes the Rams for me. And then that brings me to really the Seattle game. And the Seattle game, is Seattle's playing really good football, and they are really good up front. But I would say Denver's very similar in a sense of the caliber defensive front they have. I think Denver's probably got a better secondary. I think
but they're going to be without Surtain in this game, though.
But even with that, I think they're still just schematically, maybe not better without Surtain, but they're still a problem. And it's interesting because when I looked at Seattle, stylistically they were a problem because they like to slant, they like to pick, they like the stunt, all the different stunts, and the Texans had struggled with that before. Now you look at this team; this is a pressure defense, and you know that. You know, they're gonna crowd the line of scrimmage, and that is what C.J. Stroud has struggled with, and really the offense, not just C.J., but the offense in general has struggled with. And so that matchup is there. But then when you flip to the offensive side of the football, for me, when I look at Sean Payton, Bo Nix, Cortland Sutton, and the Evan Engram, the crew that they've got, the two-headed monster they got at running back. I got to go with Denver, and to be honest with you, it's pretty convincing. I think Seattle's a good team, but Denver just scares me a little bit more. I think the one thing that Bo Nix brings to the table that all the guys you mentioned did not is what scares me: the legs. Right? I mean, he can move the chains.
Yeah.
Especially against an aggressive up the field defense, it changes how you've got to rush him. So
we saw Baker come up with some big runs. Late in that game.
Yeah.
I would go with Denver.
I'd go with Denver, Ron. I think Denver's the best team that the Texans have – biggest challenge the Texans have faced thus far.
Like, when I sit back and look at these teams, healthy, the Rams are the team that looks like they're the best team to me. I think their defense is pretty good. Their D-line is pretty good. Not as good as the Broncos, but they're pretty good. And then they've got – you know, Adams and Nacua and Stafford and McVay over there. But to me, for the Texans, the team that really gives type of teams that really are going to give them a lot of problems are teams that are suffocating defensively, right? Because with the Texans defense, you feel like even Stafford and all of them, that was the first game of the year, but it was 14 points. It was 14 points they gave up. And you look at that, I'm like, all right, the Texans' defense can play with anybody offensively. It's those teams that the defense is the problem. And we've watched teams. Seattle was a game. The Rams were a game where this happened. Jacksonville was a game where they just struggled to move the football for long stretches of the game. And this team is going to be the best that they face, even without Surtain, because of everything they do in that front seven. And if you miss Benjamin Albright, who covers the Broncos, he was on with us at 3 o'clock and kind of really broke down their defensive line. And that's why, to me, even though on paper, when I look at the Rams, they look scarier, but for the Texans, teams with great offenses, you feel like that the Texans will be able to hold their own at the very least because they've dominated most everybody they've played defensively. It's those teams with that have defenses that just can smother and shut them down for long stretches and then make CJ look like the person you're scared of him looking like.
Yeah, I mean, when look, we got a two-pronged issue here in Houston as it pertains to the exact problem you're talking about, or situation you're talking about. When a team has the ability, or even the willingness, when they have the willingness to try to suffocate you, right? They crowd the line of scrimmage, and we as an offense, the Texans offense, struggles identifying who's coming and who's not. They have a problem communicating which direction they want to slide the offensive line, and it becomes a guessing game, right? So that's the first problem with a suffocating type style of approach to defense. The second part is you don't have guys beyond Nico Collins that have shown that they can win right now and be quick answers for your quarterback when they do decide to bring all out pressure. And so you got a two-pronged problem there, right? Can you figure out who's coming and who's not, pick it up, which then your quarterback, if you do, your quarterback can sit in the pocket, your receivers can run routes, your combinations can unfold, your quarterback can read it, decipher it all, get through a progression, deliver the football, right? If you can't, then there's a free runner, and more times than not, your quarterback's going down for a sack or he's going to have to throw the football away. Sometimes there's a free runner. If you squeeze everything down and the free runner's coming from depth or he's coming from width, then do you have a receiver that can win right now consistently enough to put fear into a defensive coordinator? And truth be told, the Texans don't have those guys, right? I can see one coming in Jalen Noel. If we get Christian Kirk healthy enough to play some football this year, maybe he still has that in him. And Nico Collins can't do it all on his own. The problem is you don't have enough Nico Collins, right? A team can press and throw a safety over the top or press and run a linebacker out towards him and kind of shade coverage towards him, and then you can't get it to him. That's a problem, major problem.
Yeah. All right, coming up, T-Mill's best bet, as he has been in the green two straight days this week to kick things off. You can win you some money if you if you listen to where T-Mill is. We'll have his best bets coming up. And D'Amico and Nick Caserio were affected today, and they will have to deal with this very, very soon. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Nick Caserio, the general manager. We'll talk about him in a second. He's going to have some potential, at least, I guess, parameters to what he's going to have to deal with. But Nick Caserio coming up in a couple of minutes here, right after we get done Texans All Access with Mark Vandermeer, John Harris from 6 to 8. Area 45, you know the drill. They follow the fellas from Texans All Access, 8 to midnight. Sean Bajani has got this thing rolling out. Chris Santiago. And you all will be along for the ride coming up behind Texans All Access, Area 45, the best late night local sports show in all of Houston. I also want a reminder, tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday, come on out, Cypress, Texas. We'll be in Cypress for our Thirsty Thursdays. You know, we're at a Buffalo Wild Wings each and every Thursday. This time we'll be out in Cypress off US 290. All right, address for those looking for me. I know Steve and Steven and Shannon hit me up talking about where is it going to be at? 25704 US 290, Cypress, Texas in the building. All right, that's where we will be tomorrow. We do not come empty-handed, as we had a great time. Last week, we have a great time every week, so come on out and join us tomorrow, 2 to 6, Thirsty Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings up in Cypress. And then we'll get to T-Mill's best bets. Like I said, he's had a green day both Monday and Tuesday, and he's getting hot, so stay with him there. All right, Clint, some people texting in here. Man, Denver is good, but the Texans will make Bo Nix trash and bust their ass. Our guys here on YouTube and Twitch, Brandon and Frank, they're going back and forth. Texans win by 7. They don't have a lot of experience playing without Patrick Surtain, and the Texans have too much momentum going right now. And I would just say, damn, man, that momentum just happened this week.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully. I think the Texans absolutely can win this game. Right? We've watched We've watched the Denver Broncos play games this year where the Texans definitely can get them. The Jets, the Giants, we've watched those games. So I do think there's a chance, but I don't know if we're looking at momentum or anything like that. We'll see.
Yeah, look, there is no doubt. D'Amico Ryans in this defense, I think one of the things, I'm obviously a great defense, so you're confident in a lot of things, but one of them is, when you get a young quarterback that's going up against this defense, I mean, odds are they're not going to handle it well, right? Even if you are a guy that can move around a little bit like Bo Nix can, odds are you're not going to handle it well. There's a lot of disguising. There's some really good players. There's a front, both stylistically and player-wise, some of the best in the league that can create chaos around the quarterback. So, the physicality could become a problem. One hit and you change the game. So I don't doubt that Bo Nix can that D'Amico Ryans can make Bo Nix look very, very
ordinary,
run of the mill, yeah, ordinary, and so I don't doubt that one bit. But I know Sean Payton. I've been in a quarterback meeting room with him.
He'll have a plan.
There is nobody that is more cutting edge. There's nobody that has a wider range of ways to attack a defense. There's nobody that looks at whoever the duck is on this defense will absolutely get attacked. There will be a plan that, like, when it comes to plans, a lot of things that we've complained about with the offensive coordinators here in Houston over the years of, there will be a plan. If they are struggling on third down, there will be an adjustment that will be made, and you're going to have to stop a new approach to third down. If they're struggling in the red zone, they're not going to sit there and just keep doing the same old crap over and over and over again. His ability to adjust is as good as anybody's in the league. And I think D'Amico Ryans spoke of it. Like, the variety that you face when you face a Sean Payton offense is as
he said, volume, a lot of volume, yeah, of offense.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know how to defend. You got to know how to align and assign to any and every kind of formation and motion, and you're going to get it thrown at you. So, I mean, it's going to be.
Yeah, I think the Texans are going to give them problems, right?
No, they're going to give everybody problems. Yeah.
And when you say momentum, to me, I don't think that applies to the defense, because I don't know that I really believe in momentum that much, but because I think the defense just has it no matter what. I mean, we've watched them all year. The defense, you've got to be applying that to the offense, and I think there is still a we'll see.
Yeah,
with them, I don't know that you expect what we saw against the Niners. That you should completely expect that.
We've been okey-doked with this group already this year before the Seattle game. Come out, you play two good games, and you've seen some good product. You got 15 days to prepare, and you go out there and just piss down your leg. And so we've been okey-doked already. Now, obviously, a 2 weeks later, 14 days more preparation, eight quarters of football that you got reps, and things can change. So we'll see. I mean, it's just the reality of it. Here's to me, this is what it boils down to in the matchup too, is like, can our offense in any way, shape or form make Bo Nix and Sean Payton uncomfortable, right? Is this a game where Bo Nix and Sean Payton can come in here, do their thing, punt on fourth down, not be real aggressive, take field goals and feel good about it and be real comfortable against our defense. Even though our defense is great at making you uncomfortable, can they come in here and just kind of know that the Texans offense ain't going to do much? Never really feel threatened. Know that if they score 17 points, they're going to win, yeah, right? Or does our offense apply pressure to Sean and Bo Nix of like, hey, man, y'all better take some risk. Y'all better do something against this defense, because we're going to put some pressure on you. That is ultimately what this thing's going to boil down to for me is if Sean Payton and him can come in here and play a B game, just don't turn it over. And if our offense never makes him uncomfortable, and it may be a one-score game at the end of the game, but we've seen it before. Like, you never felt threatened. You just were real comfortable the whole game. Or can you make him uncomfortable? And if you make him uncomfortable, who knows what can happen?
Yeah, can they replicate what they were able to do just stylistically? Stylistically, man, they held on to the ball. They converted first downs throughout. They held on time of possession, and they kept you know, control of the line of scrimmage and the game. And next thing you know, man, they've got a 9-play drive here, an 18-play drive here, a 12-play drive, 11-play drive, and just control the game. You know, is that the formula? Is that what they are going to try to replicate? And can they do it against a team like Denver? We'll see. And to me, the defensive end is not the one that I'm concerned about. Like, again, I'd be surprised if Denver comes in here offensively and gets going. Like, it gets going big time. It's the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, it's the other side. All right. Let's get to the best bets. As I said, T Mill, he's 6 of 10 this week. In the green, 60%, 2-3 for 5 nights. What you got tonight?
Yeah, more NBA picks. We're hitting right on the mark. We're staying away from
that World Series, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch it, so I might as well not give the people best bets.
That's fair.
But we're hitting that number we always aim for through 2 days, 60%. We're 6 for 10. Ha, nice. Sports Radio 610. You get it wrong?
Yeah, I did.
I thought that was cool. All right, five picks.
It was the... Ha. Nice.
Five picks again tonight around the NBA. Here they are very quickly. First, Boston Celtics +3.5. They are hosting the Cavs. Next, more points. The Kings +5.5 at the Chicago Bulls. Third pick, more points. Ron's Lakers +7 at the Timberwolves. Same game, I'm on the under. Lakers at T-Wolves under 226 points. And then another under to round things out. Magic at the Pistons this evening, under 228.5 in that one. Those are your five best bets.
Boy, I think the Lakers are going to get ripped to shreds tonight, boy. I think they're going to get their ass kicked. They've already beaten this Timberwolves team.
More than 7?
I don't know, man. I just can't expect that Austin Reeves is going to continue this pace. He followed up that 51-point outfit with something 40-something the next night in a loss to the Trailblazers. And they're in Minnesota, a team that they just beat last week. I don't know. I'm hoping with you.
Let's get this money.
I definitely take the under. I like that 226. I'll take the under on that.
Feel a little better. Okay.
Yeah. I like that. Celtics, Cavs. Okay. I don't know about that one either.
I'll be honest with you, T. I don't know about any of them.
Oh, man.
And that's not a negative. I don't mean either way.
I like the under. Lakers and T-Wolves. I like that one the most.
So, Drive Family, tail that one.
For sure,
yeah,
huh?
Tail that one, yeah. Yeah. And tail us to Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow.
Yeah, 290, baby. Yeah, up 290 right. Way. Cypress, right. Buffalo yep. Wild
Come
Wings.
Out. Hang out with us.
Come on.
Yeah, do your thing on Thirsty Thursday. We'll have a good time, as we always do, and you can have a good time joining us.
I'm going to eat me some old tenders, Tyler. Some old Tyler's tenders. I've been in tenders lately. I gave you a really hard time about it, man. I've probably eaten tenders about eight times.
I think it's every time here.
I mean, it's about 8 times in the last probably 3 months, man.
That breast meat's good.
I'm not going to go with them little bitty beers you drink, but I'm going to tell you, man, them tenders, they're getting them finger foods. Easy to eat now. Clean.
Shout out to Benjamin Albright for joining us. Shout out to D'Amico and CJ in their own way joining us.
That's right.
Today here on The Drive. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Ben, we appreciate you joining us. And by the way, I heard right before we got on that Clint Sterner won you a fantasy football league.
Would you have the Giants defense in 2001 or what?
No, I started Clint Sterner over Rich Gannon. This was October 28th of 2001.
I'll be damned. You got to be kidding me.
From 2001. Yes, we all believe.
Clint Sterner, second year in the NFL, his first regular season start.
Yeah, and he's not a tall guy. They list him at 6'2", but there's no way. I think he'd be lucky to be 6 foot.
Trainer called him Opie on the way out when we were visiting on Friday, so that gives you any indication.